Hello and welcome to IndieInterviews.com, a weekly radio show where we interview independent musicians to get their perspective on their music, their history, and the world around their art. On this show, your host Garrison Reed sits down with Dan Bunny of Bunny Brains. Dan discusses his ambitious approach to making music and the audience's perception of the band's live show and recordings.
It's a photocopy of a facsimile of a mimeograph of a painting drawn by a charcoal artist. Nobody creates music that way.
Bunny Brains' recordings and live performances are like experimental theater, unique performances, and of-the-moment musical explorations. Here's a snippet of Watch Out, Child Offender from a recent studio session at Nashville's Castle Studios. Watch out, child offender now. Watch out, son of a devil now. Watch out, child offender now. Watch out, son of a devil now. That's the end of the box, that's a name of that and that. The band has just finished a national tour with Devendra Banhart. The Bunny Brains are compiling tour recordings and new studio songs for a 2006 Narnak Records release.
So in 17 years, this is your first tour. How's it been so far? Or your second tour?
Yeah, first real live rock and roll tour.
Yeah.
As you can tell, this is not a minivan. How's it been so far?
Yeah.
It's been the best thing that I've ever done. And I'm, like, not a tour guy.
Yeah.
Like, I sit at home. I have a record store. I have a bookstore.
Yeah.
And I go up and down the stairs and sell books and records to people all day long for years.
Yeah.
For 2 years or so.
So to come out on a 20-30 day tour?
It was unthinkable to me.
Yeah.
Getting on an airplane was unthinkable to me. Arriving in a city called San Francisco was unthinkable to me.
Wow.
And then getting on a bus and traveling 6,000 miles in a circle back to San Francisco 3 weeks later was absolutely out of the question.
Yeah.
And then once I, you know, I've known these guys for a while, so I knew right away that as soon as I got out there, I'd be taken in.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's totally been great.
Yeah.
And, like, we played in L.A. We played in L.A. for, like, 1,200 people, man, and there's, like, this huge techno crazy ass whatever club, and we killed them.
Yeah.
With our special brand of killing.
Yeah.
And they needed to be killed badly. People in LA are just so fucking, I don't know what the word is. I mean, they're just really suspended in animation. Yeah. They're in Disney World all the time. So, yeah, it's been great.
And how has Devendra's fan base, like, responded and reacted to?
Incredibly.
Incredible.
Like, if you go on, if you do a search of blogs or whatever, like on Google blog search or whatever, and you type in, you know, Banhart Bunny or something, you'll find all these little girls that are just like, having no descriptor for what we've done on so far. But they're dumbfounded, but they like it.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing. They're not, only one of them was dumbfounded and didn't like it because she thought that one of our band members, Jamie, was being taken advantage of in a, like, sexual way.
Uh-huh.
Like, I can't believe that girl would put herself in that sexual advantageous position. And it's like, what are you talking about? Have you ever gone to, like, Phantom of the Opera? Like, the guy's face under the mask, it's not real. You know? It's not real. But anyway, I would say 99% of the response has been completely positive.
Yeah.
Which, who would have thought that?
Yeah. Does that surprise you a lot?
I was hoping that would be the case, but I was definitely prepared for the opposite.
Yeah.
You know, I'm always prepared for the opposite doing this stuff.
You've released so many recordings. How much are you writing that isn't going on record?
Well, we haven't written anything since 90. Well, actually, in theory, we never wrote anything. We made up everything and then made songs out of the makeup stuff.
Okay.
And lately, in the last, since 98, nothing has been written.
Yeah.
It's a completely improvisational show. every song we do is that night's song, and then it's evaporated afterwards, which is a long time to be making up stuff. But it works.
Yeah, as far as like released records, and is that every show you go see is a new show, even with the stuff that's been
for us?
Yeah, as far as even what's on record.
We don't do any of the songs from the records.
Never.
Well, I occasionally will whip out something. Like, we had this guy come over from England, and it was his birthday, and he'd never been to the United States before.
Okay.
So I did a couple of, like, old songs on acoustic, just because I didn't want to disappoint a guy who just fucking flew from England for his birthday party. Yeah, he loved us. So I did a couple old songs, and I'm not the main musician. I'm not a musician. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to find a note or whatever. Yeah. So I faked it, and he loved it anyway.
Yeah.
Because he knew it had a vestige of the past. But as for the shows on this tour, and pretty much any shows that we've ever done in the Northeast, they're all ad lib.
Yeah.
And it serves us, because to have to go out there and pound a song into the ground every single night, it works if you're really trying to sell records, but I think we've gone past the point of trying to sell records. Yeah. It's not our goal anymore to sell records.
And now to the
poor old Narnak, you know what I mean? Like, they would like us to write some catchy little tune.
Yeah.
But it's probably not going to happen.
There's something really seductive about this fleeting moment in art that's not tangible.
Yeah. That's
your whole ambition.
It sucked me in completely.
Yeah.
When I started doing it, I mean, we've always had elements of improv or making up stuff in the music. But there was a time very early on where we would practice songs till they were as tight as we could possibly get them, and then try and replicate that live. And this was, I'm talking about a long time ago.
No, that's
pre-95.
Yeah.
And then 95, like on the Matador record, a lot of those songs, we did all the songs on the Matador record, which is on the Narnak box set, were done as first takes, live. No overdubs, no pre-thought out lyrics. We went back and transcribed everything after the fact and tried to replicate that stuff live.
So it's like a photocopy, a carbon copy?
It's a photocopy of a facsimile of a mimeograph of a painting drawn by a charcoal artist.
Yeah.
You know, like nobody creates music that way.
Yeah.
But I'm not a musician, so I can't say, well, let's play a G. I don't know what a G is. I don't know what an E is. So, like, to me, it has to be done that way. And it's kind of a lazy way out. Like, I could probably learn chords on a guitar if I had to by rote. But it's easier to go out there with the feeling that you've absorbed through the day.
Yeah.
Like, you woke up, you read the newspaper, you watched CNN, you got pissed off at CNN. You know, you went outside, you went swimming. You did whatever you did, and then at that particular 30-minute block of time for your show, you let it out, and it's gone.
Yeah.
It's therapeutic, and it's the only thing that works right now.
Yeah.
Not to say that we wouldn't enjoy, you know, sitting down maybe and working out some songs. We're going to Nashville tomorrow with these guys, and we're going to work out some songs for some weird little side project maybe that me and Devendra want to do.
Sometimes I feel like Jethro Tull, and sometimes I don't feel at all. Sometimes I feel like Ben Morrison, sometimes I don't feel at all. Sometimes I feel like Roger Daltrey, but sometimes I don't feel at all. Sometimes I feel like Led Zeppelin, but sometimes I don't feel at all.
Yeah, I guess that's the word. You know, like, we would take stuff from this tour, from tapes and whatever, and make stuff out of that.
Yeah.
And we went out in April and did a show, a bunch of shows like Lightning Bolt and Nautical Almanac and, you know, all these, like, you know, people. And we recorded a bunch of that stuff.
Yeah.
So, actually, I have a copy of the stuff that's all from April.
Yeah.
Which is the most recent stuff. And you can kind of see. We've been doing a lot of acoustic stuff. which is kind of weird. We did these festivals across the river for me in Hudson, in, north of Woodstock.
Yeah.
With, like, Feathers and Matt Valentine and Erica Elder and Samara Lubelski, you know, like, the
all
whole...
the people that worked with the band on the
range. Yeah, like, psych folk, you know, luminaries or whatever. And we got up there and did our thing, and it worked out really well. So I think we've incorporated that into what we do now live.
You've worked with Devendra since he was prior to the Young Guides, right?
I booked some shows for him and stuff, and just kept in touch as a friend, and haven't worked with him musically at all. Oh, actually, no, you're right. We did play with him 2 years ago as Abra. He had a band. Yeah. He has a side project, a drag trio, where he dresses in drag. And it's called Abra, and they do all cover songs like Nina Simone and Edith Piaf and Elizabeth Cotton and like Bob Dylan, and they just get out there, and it's just piano and him singing, no guitar, no electric, and it's really amazing.
This is one of the first, I guess you have had CDRs, but this is like one of the first massive print of on straight onto compact disc. Is there any hesitation to do that, or do you like...
Well, we shot ourselves in the foot with Matador, for instance, in 96 by not making a CD of that record. Mm-hmm. It was vinyl only at my insistence because I thought vinyl was the coolest thing in the world. Yeah. Selling, being a record dealer, you want everything to be on vinyl. And in retrospect, it was stupid because we would have become the flash in the pan of 1998 had we put it on CD. Mm-hmm. We would have come and went by the 2000, people would have forgotten about it. Mm-hmm. They would have been like, oh, you're like... I don't know, I can't think of a really crappy band right now, but like Gut Bucket, or I'm just making up names, but like Gut Bucket or Chicken Hawk or something, you know, like nobody would have cared. And the fact is, you put out a box set of the entire recorded vinyl output of a band, and people go, well, where were we when these came out? Like, where, you know, it poses a question, like, why weren't we paying any attention?
Yeah.
And
it also has to do with availability.
Yeah. Well, those records were in stores around the United States and in Europe too, but you have to kind of know what you're looking for.
Yeah.
And with Narnak, putting it all together, I wasn't hesitant because I wanted people to hear what we had done. Mm-hmm. And the only way to do that was to put it on CD.
Yeah.
So I bit the bullet and I said, let's just get it out.
Yeah.
And it was a good flush because I was kind of ended up departing ways with the band that I had from 98 to 2001.
Okay.
Like those guys kind of
did their own deal.
Dissolved and started a Bunny Brains offshoot band, which became this big bone of contention. They started a band called Bunny Brains 88. Two founding members of Bunny Brains started. They're now called Ultra Bunny because of my threatenings over the email. You know, it's like, I think you're confusing a very salient issue here, is that, you know, there's a band here that has been... I've been playing as this entity for 17 years.
Why would they just not pick a totally, like, random name that had nothing to do with bunnies?
Because how are you going to get laid calling yourself Gut Bucket? You know what I mean? Gut Bucket, former members of Bunny Brains.
Yeah.
You call yourself Bunny Brains 88 and you get a blowjob here and there. You know, it's like... it's just perfect, you know, business sense.
Yeah.
And I really didn't want to divert the blowjobs away... I wanted to divert them away from them. I didn't want them to get them all. And I was like, well, here you go. You know, you have to call yourself something else. So now they're Ultra Bunny, but they still diss me on their website, and they still diss the idea that I continued this thing, trying to, like, cash in somehow. And if they only knew how little cash there was, it's a ridiculous point.
Thanks for listening to IndieInterviews.com, a weekly podcast where we interview independent musicians. More information about our guests today, Bunny Brains, can be found on their website, thebunnybrains.com. Music samples on this show are from their 2005 recording sessions, Castle Sessions. For information on their complete anthology release, visit narnakrecords.com. For more information, including a transcription of this interview, please visit IndieInterviews.com. For feedback on this podcast and the materials used in its production, send your thoughts to IndieInterviews@IndieInterviews.com. Thanks again. See you next week. Where the holes take up space is the whole human race. Punishment is not enough. There's no
sense of punishment enough.